We are in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 40 through the end of the chapter. So we should, by God's grace, finish chapter 8 this morning. Chapter 8, Luke has begun to show us some miracles that Jesus performs. The purpose of the miracles is to display His authority and His power. The purpose of His miracles is for us to stop and look and say, what manner of man this is. What a Savior we have. What a God we serve. And so He began by calming the sea of Galilee when the disciples were frightened to death. And then we saw Him cast out over 2,000 demons out of the maniac of Gadara. And then we come to this section. This is sort of like my chickens. Every once in a while you get a double yoker. Double yokers are good. Amen. This is a double yoker. Two miracles in one passage of Scripture. Let's read it together. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive the virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he had come into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all went and bewailed her, and all wept and bewailed her. And he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should not tell no man what was done. And all God's people said, "Amen." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you today knowing that we are incapable and unable to do anything of any spiritual value today without Christ. without the Spirit. If you were to leave us by ourselves on our own today, we would be helpless and hopeless. But we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And I pray that the Spirit of God would come in a real and tangible way today and speak to our hearts. May you open our ears and our hearts to your word. And may you use me. May you speak through me to the hearts of your people. May we recognize the greatness of our God. May we recognize the awesomeness of our Savior. May we see you in the text afresh and anew. And may this fresh view of Christ, may it warm our hearts. And may it cause our hearts to rejoice that we have Christ living in us, the hope of glory. And that we are His and He is ours. We ask and we pray that you would do a work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will remember from last week, Jesus heals the man who is infested with demons. And the townspeople bid Jesus to leave, to go away. They rejected Him, although they had seen the power and the authority that Christ possessed. And so Christ gets back on the boat and goes back to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, because He had an appointment over there. It is amazing that He came all the way across the Sea of Galilee because He had an appointment with a maniac. Now He goes all the way back across the Sea of Galilee because on His divine appointment book, He has an appointment with the ruler of the synagogue and a lady who has an issue of blood. And God in Christ always meets His appointments. Well, this double-yoked miracle is something to behold. And I want us to walk through it and learn some things from it this morning. So let me sort of compress my thoughts under three main headings. Let's begin by looking at the pressing need. The pressing need. Why come to Christ if you don't have a need? Isn't there a need that needs to be acknowledged for anyone to come to Christ? You know why the townspeople had cast Christ away? Because they didn't need Him. But here comes a man who feels his need of Christ. His name is Jairus. He is the ruler of the synagogue. He comes to Christ, falls down at the feet of Christ, and begs Christ that He would come to his house. The reason why he comes is because he has a dying daughter. His daughter is very, very sick. She's dying. And where else can he go but to Christ? Luke is careful to remind us here that he has been able to enjoy his daughter for 12 years. In fact, if you put these two together, it seems like this young girl was born about the same time that the woman with issue of blood began to be sick. There is a 12-year frame here. 12 years this man has enjoyed his daughter. They have played together. He has swung her in the swing. They have laughed together. They have done many things together. He has enjoyed his daughter. She is one of the great blessings of his life, and now she lies dying. This problem is what brings him to Christ. This need is what brings him to Christ. The question I ask, where else would he go? Who else would he seek? What other person has the answers? So, this pressing need upon the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, causes him to come to Christ. And I do want to say some things about this desperate drive that seems to be in him. It seems to me he is being driven to Christ. Luke says he is the ruler of the synagogue. He is a man in charge. He is a man with authority. He is the man that takes care of all of the essential needs of the synagogue as far as worship goes. He wields control. He wields authority. He is a man that others look to for guidance in matters of worshiping God. If people had a question about God, they would come to him. He is the ruler of the synagogue, but he has a situation in his life that he cannot control. He is a man in control, but not of this. He has a situation that his religion can't help. Judaism, law-keeping, legalism can't help his dying daughter. He has a situation in his life that his wealth and property and position can't fix. Matter of fact, he has a situation in his life that he absolutely has no resources to help. His religion can't help. His position can't help. His wealth can't help. And because nothing he has can help, because he feels this desperation, he is driven toward one he thinks can help. Comes to Jesus. Because for him, there's no other place to go. He has heard of a man who has calmed storms. He has heard of a man who has spoken to the wind and spoken to the waves, and they obey. He has heard of a man who has spoken to over 2,000 demons and they had to obey. He has heard about a man who has healed diseases and has helped people over infirmities. He has heard of this man, and knowing he has nothing in himself, he has come to the one who he thinks can help. He believes that Jesus can heal his daughter of her disease. Now, let me say something before I move forward, because I don't think Jairus has good theology. He thinks that Jesus has to come to his house for his daughter to be healed. Jesus can speak from where he is and be healed. The woman with issue of blood thinks that she has to touch Jesus for herself to be healed. Bad theology, but yet God is going to honor their faith, even though their theology is not exactly right. I'm glad our theology doesn't have to be just right for Jesus to love us and to move on our behalf. The pressing need. Jesus begins to go with Jairus and to go to his house to tend to his daughter, and there is something that happens. There is a pause in the travel plans of Jesus here. So I want to say some things about not only the pressing need, but the pausing encounter. As they're going, and understand this, if your daughter is dying, time is of essence. Jairus believes that Jesus can heal his daughter if he can just get him there before she dies. So a pause, a diversion, a delay in the travel is not good. But that's exactly what happens. As they're traveling, Jesus is touched by a woman who has an issue of blood. She has had an issue of blood for 12 years. Luke tells us that she has spent all of her living upon physicians and has not gotten better. Matter of fact, one of the gospel writers tells us she has gotten worse. She is worse physically and she is worse financially by dealing with the medical profession of her day. So she comes from behind. She has expended all resources. And where else can she go but to Christ? So this woman apparently has heard of a man who can speak to the waves and speak to the wind and they obey. She apparently has heard of a man who has cast 2,000 demons out of a man, who has healed all sorts of infirmities. And she says, I have nothing to heal myself. I will go to him. And she believes if she could just touch him, if she could just touch his garment, she could be healed. And so she goes, being a social outcast, being excommunicated from all social activities because she is an unclean woman with this issue of blood. All that would touch her would become unclean, so she would not be able to go to the synagogue. She would not be able to go to any social outing. She would be a social outcast. So she makes her way silently through the crowd, and she touches Jesus and is healed. The emphasis here, I think, that Luke puts on this miracle is her faith. Jesus says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go into peace. So I want to talk about her faith. It is her faith that moved her to come to Christ. I want you to understand something this morning. Without faith, you don't move toward Christ. And with faith, you always move toward Christ. It is not theologically correct that God gives faith and then we can exercise it or not. Faith is given and then faith moves us toward Christ. This woman's faith moved her from her surroundings, from her despondency, from her lack of resources, and moves her to the one and the only one that can help her, to Christ. What got her to go through the crowd? What got her to do this great thing of touching Christ? It was her faith that moved her. Oh, if God would give faith, then people would come to Christ. It is her faith that moved her to Christ. It is also her faith that magnifies Christ. You ever wonder why Jesus made this big deal about who touched me? Peter's wondering that. Jesus says, who touched me? And they're in a crowd where everybody is so crushed up to one another. Peter says, Lord, who hasn't touched you? But get this, somebody in that crowd, although Christ was being touched by many people, one touch was different. One touch was a touch of faith. That's a great commendation on the lady. It's a great indictment on the crowd. Nobody in the crowd was touching him out of faith except this one lone woman who came from behind and touched him. And he said, somebody has touched me, for I feel the power has gone from me. And the woman, knowing that she cannot hide any further, says, it was me. And Luke says she told the crowd and she told Christ why she came. And you can almost imagine the story. I have been sick for 12 years. I have been thrown out of the synagogue. I have been thrown out of every social place there is. I have lived by myself. I have spent all my money. I have spent all my time on doctors, and I'm worse. And I heard about Jesus. And I heard all the great things that He has done. And I thought, if I could just come and touch Him, I could be healed. And she said, as soon as I touched his garment, I was healed. Now, let me ask you a question. If she would have silently slipped through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and silently went back home healed, Jesus would have missed out on the glory. He wouldn't have been magnified. But Jesus stops so that the crowd and his disciples may know he has authority over disease. He has absolute authority over all disease. Just a touch of his garment causes disease to flee. Now, this is the danger, right? The woman could have went, touched the hem of his garment, went back home, and people could have said, it's your faith. Your faith. You're well because of your faith. No. It wasn't the greatness of her faith that healed her. It was the faith in the greatness of her God, in her Savior, that healed her. It wasn't the material that Jesus was wearing that was made holy and able to heal. It wasn't that she could tear off a piece of his garment and mail that around and make money on that because that had power. No, the garment didn't have power. The faith didn't have power. It was Jesus who had the power. She came to Christ and was healed. All of this in the pause of Jesus going to the house of Jairus. Well, can you imagine how fidgety Jairus would be at this point? Can you imagine what's going through the mind of Jairus? I'm sure he's happy that this woman is healed, but his mind is on his daughter. And I don't know how much time has elapsed between the time Jesus went and the time Jesus gets to the house, but there has been some time that has elapsed, and I'm sure that Jairus is wondering, have we waited too long? And sure enough, someone comes from his house and says, she's gone. She's dead. Don't trouble Jesus to come. too late. It's too late, Jairus. Your daughter is dead. But while we see the pressing need and the pausing encounter, I want to just say a couple of things about the powerful word. Two words. Jesus looks at Jairus when he receives the bad news that he may have already feared in his heart was true. His daughter is dead. And Jesus heard it. And Jesus ignored it. Because it doesn't matter what anybody says. Jesus looks at Jairus and gives him a reassuring word. He says, "Fear not." He says, "Believe only, and she shall be made whole." Don't you let bad news affect your faith, Jairus. Don't let bad news cause you to disbelieve, Jairus. Don't let bad news cause you to fear, Jairus. What he says doesn't mean a thing. Fear not. You believe. This is what I think he was thinking. This is what I think he might have said in his heart. I believed you could heal her of a disease. I believed that while she was still breathing, while her heart was still pumping, I believed you could have helped her, but now she's dead. It's too far gone. And Jesus says, "Fear not. Don't just believe I can heal diseases. Know and believe that I can overcome death." It's never too late. Jesus. So this reassuring word, don't fear, don't fret, don't bite your fingernails to the quick. Believe. Believe. Don't put boundaries on Jesus. Don't think Jesus can go this far and yet can't go farther than that. Don't put any boundaries or limits on God. He is an infinite God. He has no limits. He has no boundaries. He has no restraints. He has no end. And death may be an end for us, but it's not an end for God. So he says, "Fear not." You got to believe. You got to believe. Not in just a Jesus that can heal diseases, but in a Jesus that can raise from the dead. So we see a reassuring word to Jairus. And then we see a reviving word when he gets to the house. This tickles me so much. He gets to the house. She hasn't been, I don't know how long she's been dead, but the professional mourners are already there. Now, these are people that get paid to come into a house where there is a death and wail and moan. They're already there. Jesus gets to the house, there's already wailing and moaning and crying. It is the picture of death and the sadness and the sorrow of death. And Jesus says, What are you crying about? What are you wailing about? Why are you people here? She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laugh at Christ. I wouldn't want that to be on my record. They laugh. Sleeping. Listen, she's dead. And listen, they're professional mourners. If anybody knows death, they know it. She's dead. So take this as cue. She's not humanly, she's not asleep. Humanly, she's not sick. She's dead. We've went in there and held a mirror to her mouth. There's no fog. There's no pulse. She's dead. She's getting stiff. She's dead. And Jesus says, no, she's not. She's asleep. And they laugh. What an idiot. And Jesus, same words that he used when he threw the money changers out of the temple, he threw them out. You want to laugh? Get out of here. And he takes Peter, James, John, and mom and dad, and they go into the room. And he touches the young girl and speaks a word. Speaks a word. Arise. And she immediately arose. Now let's learn something about death here. Death is the separation of spirit and body. Her spirit was not dead. Her body was dead. But her spirit, and understand this, our spirit, when we die, our spirit will either go and be in the presence of the Lord, or it will be in eternal punishment in hell. The rich man lifted up his eyes in the flames and the torments of hell. As soon as we die, our spirit goes to one or two places. And when Jesus speaks the word, arise, her spirit comes back to her body. And she is alive. And Jesus says, just so you guys, you laughers, you scoffers, you people, just so you know what's happened here today, just so you don't go and say, it was a ghost, it was a spirit, it wasn't real, fix her something to eat. You ever seen a ghost eat? A reviving word. The power of the word of God. God speaks a word. And death cannot hold on to its capture. A woman touch his garment and disease must flee. He says a word and demons must obey. He speaks a word and the nature must obey. Now, let me conclude by this. People take these accounts, and I think they misuse them. Can I say today that you need to understand that Jesus does not want to be your genie in a bottle. He doesn't just want to be someone that you call upon when you want your needs met. He doesn't just want to be the one who dispenses goods to you. And you know, I think Christianity in America is basically that. God is my genie in a bottle. When I need something, I rub it and I tell him what I want and he gives it. When I need help, he's the butler. I ring my bell and he comes a-running. He is the dispenser of good. He gives me good. He gives me. I am such a wonderful person that God gives me. Can I say he is not that? He is Savior. He is Lord. He is God. And he is to be worshipped. He is to be adored. He is to be trusted, and he is to be honored. I'm going to help you today. God has not promised that He will calm every storm. He calmed this storm, but He has not promised to calm your storm. Be careful when we think that God always delivers and He always makes things better. He doesn't. Bad theology. Bad theology. He has not promised to calm every storm. He has not promised to cast out every demon. He has not promised to heal every disease. He has not promised to raise everyone who dies from the dead. Are you with me? There is no promise that God will deliver you in your storm. There is no promise that God will cast out every demon. There is no promise that He will heal every disease. There is no promise that He will raise everyone who dies. He has the authority and the power to. But He has promised that everyone who in faith would come to Him for salvation, He would save them. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you come, He will in no wise cast you out. The one who has authority to calm all seas and cast out all demons and heal all diseases and overcome all death, He is the God who has authority to forgive you of your sins. That's what we're talking about. Not your earthly happiness, but your eternal holiness in Christ. He will save you if you'll call. Everyone who will call upon His name, He will save. Everyone who thirsts can come and drink. He has promised that. And if He has power over nature and over demons and over disease and over death, can't you see that you can trust Him with your soul? And can't you trust Him to raise you up on the last day? There is coming a day, Christian, when the trump shall sound, Jesus shall step out, and He will say, "Arise." And graves will be opened, and tombs will be opened, and those in Christ will rise and meet Him in the air. Oh, the power of God. Trust your soul with Him. Would you stand with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, may You move as we wait a moment, giving opportunity for those who have been spoken to by God to come and to bow their knee before You and trust You with their soul. Trust You who has authority over all things. May they come. Dear Heavenly Father, give them faith to come.